Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. He is risen. He is risen indeed. This was the cry of the early church, and it is still our cry today. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the foundation of our hope. We invite you to join us on Easter Sunday and celebrate the wonderful news of the resurrection. We've been doing a series over the last 7 weeks on hope, and we've looked at the theme of hope for week after week. Hope is the confident expectation of something we are sure of. Our passage for this Easter weekend comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The resurrection is recorded in all four Gospels. I would encourage you to take some time this week to read the resurrection accounts. What is it that you believe? That's a good so what. What is it that you believe? What is it that you hope for? What confident expectation are you sure of? Before we come to our reading today, let us stop before the throne of glory and offer a prayer. God of resurrection hope, give us the same resurrection hope today that filled the hearts and homes of the early disciples. The tomb is empty. Jesus was alive. Jesus, like he said, fills us with this same hope, a hope that will never disappoint us, a hope that will sustain us in every situation and circumstance that we face. Lord God of all power and resurrection power, give us resurrection hope today as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your Bible. We're in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." When they remembered his words, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Have you ever heard of the movie Unbroken? The title of the book is Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience, and redemption. It is the story of Louis Zamperini, a former Olympic distance runner and World War II prisoner. Zamperini was shot down in his B-24 bomber, the Green Hornet. Zamperini lived to tell about this 1943 airplane crash in the Pacific Ocean. Zamperini survived the crash and then drifted in a life raft for 47 days. He was then captured by the Japanese. Zamperini spent 20 months in a Japanese prison camp where he endured physical and mental torture. His courageous story and ultimate victory is told in the movie Unbroken. The book reached the number one spot on the New York Times bestseller list and was acclaimed by Time Magazine as the best nonfiction book of 2010. When Zamperini was finally rescued from the prison camp, he returned to California a hero, only to fall victim to another enemy, which was, well, which also imprisoned him. It was called alcohol. Zamperini often told the story of his rescue from his second prison of alcoholism because of his story gave hope to other weary hearts who longed to be saved from the mental anguish, disastrous circumstances, and physical defeat of addiction. After Zamperini was set free from both the Japanese prison camp and from his addiction to alcohol, he returned to Japan after the war. Listen to how Laura Hillenbrand records this story in her book, After Louis Zamperini Received Christ. This is what she wrote. Quote, "When Louis thought of his history, what resonated with him now was not all what he had suffered, but of the divine love that he believed had intervened to save him. He was not the worthless, broken, forsaken man that the bird, the general of the prison camp, had striven to make him. In a single, silent moment, Zamperini's rage, his fear, his humiliation, and his helplessness had fallen away. And on the morning Zamperini received Christ as his Lord and Savior, he believed he was a new creation. A year after trusting Christ, Zamperini returned to Sugamo Prison in Japan, where he met with his former captors, all except for the bird. When Zamperini was told that the bird had committed suicide, he felt something he had never felt for his captor before. With a shiver of amazement, he realized it was compassion, and at that moment, something shifted sweetly inside him. It was forgiveness, beautiful and effortless and complete. For Louis Zamperini, the war was over. The war was over. Forgiveness, beautiful, effortless, complete. That is the promise of the resurrection. This is the joy of the resurrection. This is the hope of the resurrection. The war between good and evil, heaven and hell, is over because the tomb is empty. We have been offered forgiveness, beautiful, effortless, and complete. Let's look at our scripture for today and enter into the story. I always say, put yourself in the story and then put the story in you. Let's enter into the story. The women have returned from the empty tomb, and they have shared the good news. Jesus is not there. He has risen just like he told us in Galilee. Our good friend Dr. Luke tells us that the disciples did not believe the women. Wow. They did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. That's what is written. Their words seemed like nonsense. The Greek word for nonsense is phaneros, and it is translated nonsense, her idle talk, chatter, mere trash, delirium, or humbug. Like, boy, humbug. Hear it this way. The disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense, idle talk, chatter, mere trash, delirium, and humbug. I would have loved to have been in that room. This has been a terrible weekend. It's been a horrible Passover. Their best friend Jesus had been crucified and placed in a borrowed tomb by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The Sabbath was now over. The women had gotten up early on Sunday morning before sunrise. Together, they carried over 100 pounds of spices. They were going to anoint Jesus' body for his proper burial. If I were there, I'd be thinking, didn't they just leave? How come they're back so soon? What do you mean Jesus isn't there? You saw two men that looked like lightning? I don't know about you, but I'm thinking maybe the stress of the weekend has gotten to them. I'm thinking they must be delirious after all that has happened. We are told in the next verse that Peter got up and ran for the tomb. Remember Peter? We had quite a Passover too. 3 times he denied ever knowing Jesus. And then the rooster crowed. Peter went away from the crowd and wept bitterly. And the second it took that rooster to start crowing, Peter knew. He knew that he had totally 100% abandoned his Lord and Savior. Well, I'm sure a million thoughts were running through Peter's mind and heart. Something in the women's delirium had to strike a chord within him. He got up from the safety of the upper room and he ran straight to the tomb. Was this the same man who had just denied Jesus, now running to Jesus' tomb? Peter had spent 3 years walking and talking with Jesus. Peter had witnessed miracle after miracle. How many miracles did Peter see during those 3 years? The blind were given sight, the lame walked, the lepers were healed, the deaf could see, the deaf could hear. Thousands of people had been fed with a little boy's lunch. Not only did Peter see Jesus walk on water, he walked on water for a little bit. The wind and the waves obeyed Christ, and now here are some of his best friends, the women, blazing down the house with a story that Jesus is alive. Think, Peter, think. Jesus told us repeatedly, at least 3 times, that he would be crucified, buried, and that he would be raised back to life. I wonder if Peter instantly thought of the people Jesus had raised from the dead during the past 3 years. What about that last week right before coming to the Passover when Jesus called out Lazarus from the tomb? Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, but out he walked. Listen to how John records that story in John chapter 11, 21 to 25. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again, Martha. And Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Wow. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. I say happy Easter. The tomb is empty. If you have prayer concerns, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the icon for prayer and write your prayer out. If you need a quick answer, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. When Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Those are some haunting words. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Maybe I should ask you a good so what question. Do you believe this? There Peter is, huddled in that upper room for fear of the Jews. The women had returned and are talking nonsense. The stone had been rolled away. The tomb is empty. 2 men who are there shining like lightning said they need to remember what Jesus had told them. Don't look for the living among the dead. He's not here. He has risen. And all of a sudden, Peter is on his feet, running towards the empty tomb. I wonder what it would take for us to run to Jesus. What was Peter thinking when he knelt down, looked into the empty tomb, and saw the linen cloths folded up? In verse 12, Peter went away wondering to himself. That's what it says. He went away wondering to himself. The Greek word for wondering was a verb. It's a Greek verb, and is a present active verb, meaning that the action of the verb began when Peter saw the tomb empty, and he never stopped wondering. Peter was amazed, astonished, marveling, and wondering, and he never stopped being amazed, astonished, marveling, and wondering. Maybe a good so what question here. Are we amazed? Are we astonished? Are we marveling? Are we wondering because the tomb is empty? The stone is rolled away. Who was Little League and Morrow was at bat? was the last inning, two outs, the bases loaded, and depending on Carl, the winner or the loser of the game was up. Carl came from a large family, and they were all there, his mother and his father, his grandparents, his aunts and uncles. They were all there to cheer him on. A total of 30 family members had come to the opening day game. The stakes were high. The energy reached an amazing high as the pitcher threw the first pitch. Strike one. Carl was either going to be the hero or the loser. The second pitch crossed the plate. Strike two. The crowd continued. The noise was at a third pitch, and it came across the plate. Carl swung a mighty swing, but the ball flew into the catcher's mitt. Strike three. You're out. Not only was Carl out, the game was over. His team had lost, and Carl felt like he was the cause of the loss. The winning team went crazy. Their families swarmed out onto the field. Everyone was having their own kind of celebration, all except Carl's team. Carl's team walked quietly off the field, dejected. They mingled with their families, headed back to their cars in silence. Carl was still standing at the plate. He was devastated. He hung his head in disgrace. Then it happened. Someone yelled, "Son, get back up. The game ain't over." Carl heard it again. "Son, get back up. The game ain't over." The third time it was a little louder still. "Son, get back up. The game ain't over." Sure enough, there on the pitcher's mound stood Carl's dad. He was wearing a mitt and holding a ball, and he said it again, "Son, get back up. The game ain't over yet." Carl looked and saw that none of his relatives had left. They were all in the field waiting to play. Aunt Emma stood in right field. Uncle Joe was in left. They were all out there. Carl's dad stood on the pitcher's mound calmly saying, "Hey, son, get back up. The game ain't over. Back up." Bewildered, Carl picked up his bat and everybody started cheering. Carl swung at his dad's first pitch. He missed. Carl missed the next six pitches. On the seventh pitch, he got a hold of a ball and sent it out into right field. His aunt ran, picked up the ball, and threw it to first base. Mom must have lost the ball in the sun because it went right through her hands into the dugout. "Run," everyone yelled. As Carl ran to second, Uncle David was blinded by the sun as well. "Keep running." Carl headed to third, where the throw went 2 feet over the head of the third baseman. "Keep running, Carl." Carl raced home, running as hard as he had ever run. That's when Carl saw him. About 5 feet from home plate, right in front of him, was his dad. His dad had gotten down on his knees so that he was the same height as Carl. Tears were streaming down his face. Carl's dad held out his arms and said, "Son, you are safe at home." Carl threw himself into his father's arms. His father picked him up, whispered in his ears, "I told you, the game ain't over." So what? What does that mean? I love to find myself in the stories of the Bible. I loved this week I found myself in Peter. Peter's hope had been dashed to bits. The loud, proud fisherman who was Jesus' number one leader and go-to guy had just denied that he ever knew Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times, all in one night. The rooster crowing meant that not only did Peter know what a loser he was, so did Jesus. I think Peter went back and hung his head in shame. But give it some time. Enter the group of women. What they are saying makes no sense. Angels shining like lightning. Jesus is risen, just like he said. I think when Peter poked his head into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, Peter found his resurrection hope. Everything Jesus had done and said was true. "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord, I do believe." Resurrection hope tells us that even when we think the game is over, the game ain't over. we may not understand the situations and circumstances of our life. There is one who does. Jesus has overcome death, the world, and the grave. This is our so what for this Easter weekend. Our hope, we've been looking at hope, remembering hope. We've been looking at the hope that stands in the face of grave. I remember some of those messages on hope. We had a foundational hope, a living hope, a saving hope, a persevering hope, a glorious hope, a remembering hope. We had hope revealed. Now we have a resurrection hope. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your fear. I don't know your doubt. I don't know your guilt or shame. I don't know the sin that clings so closely. I don't know your hopes and dreams. But friends, I know the one who does. And I know he's going to tell you that the game isn't over. He wants to give you a resurrection hope. Our so what on this weekend is our hope has nothing to do with us. Our hope has everything to do with Jesus. Resurrection hope is what carried the cross to Calvary. Resurrection hope is what nailed Jesus to the cross. Resurrection hope is what laid Jesus in a borrowed tomb. But the game was not over. Resurrection hope is what emptied the tomb. That's our so what for today. Do you feel like maybe your game is over? Are you standing at home plate with two outs, bases loaded, and two strikes on you? Even when all mankind thinks the game is over, Jesus asks you and me one question. It's the same one he asked Mary and Martha when he was ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that everyone who believes in me will never die? Do you believe this? Will you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Resurrection hope, friends, is the empty tomb. Lazarus found it. Mary and Martha found it. The women at the tomb found it. Peter found it. Louis Zamperini, he found it. Well, and Carl found it too. Resurrection hope is what raised Jesus from the dead, emptied the tomb, and rose him from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Lord, on this Easter weekend, may our eyes be open, our ears be receptive. May our heart be ready to see that the game isn't over. No matter where we've been, no matter where we are now, we know the hope and the power of the resurrection. We stand in that hope today, proclaiming, He is risen. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Walk in the resurrection hope. God loves you. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Bye.